T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Basketball season starts tomorrow, and for the University of Miami, that means women's basketball in action tomorrow. 1 o'clock game against Jacksonville at the Watsco Center. And then on Saturday at 3 o'clock, the University of Miami women's team will take on North Florida. The Hurricanes men's basketball team will tip things off on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Our game will be heard on Waxy 790. We'll be on the air at 5:30 on Sunday afternoon from the Watsco Center, as the Hurricanes will take on North Florida. That is on Sunday. And joining us right now to talk about University of Miami men's basketball is Hurricanes head coach Jim Larrañaga. With University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga, Hurricanes basketball season gets underway on Sunday night at 6 o'clock at the Watsco Center against North Florida. Coach, first of all, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, Joe. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All in one.
It's unusual that this year for Thanksgiving we're home. Normally we're at some basketball tournament going back and forth, or playing in a basketball tournament. Not the case this year. But nonetheless, excited to get the basketball season underway. What are your thoughts on your team this year as you look at them in practice? What do you think you're going to bring to the court on Sunday night?
Well, Joe, I was looking at my calendar this morning when I got up, and I saw I'm in the Cayman Islands. Because before COVID, we had scheduled an event in the Cayman Islands. We were supposed to play Monday, today, and tomorrow in the Caymans, and then come back and give the kids the Thanksgiving weekend off. So once COVID hit, the NCAA changed all the rules. We had to change our schedule. We had to reschedule the 7 games that we had scheduled between November 10th and November 25th. We had to cancel a few of them and postpone them till next year. But now that the season is here, we open up on Sunday. Our first game tomorrow was postponed. We were supposed to play Stetson. That game now has been rescheduled for December 4th. We will open up on Sunday against North Florida. And hopefully we'll be able to play the game, because North Florida opens up its season tomorrow. They play Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. I'm just hoping like crazy that they don't show up with COVID and give it to our guys.
This is going to be an unusual season. I guess you've already told your players you have to brace to be flexible and be ready to adjust no matter what this year.
Yeah, you sure do. You asked me about our team for this year, and when the season, we were preparing for this season, we were very, very optimistic because of the number of returning players. And the worst thing happened about a month ago. Sam Wardenberg, our most experienced front court player, who was our leading rebounder, leading shot blocker, and best front court defender, tore a ligament in his foot, had to have a pin put in it, and he's out for the season. So there's been a real battle for his starting forward position by a number of guys. But if you look at our backcourt, Chris Lights, Cam Agusti, Isaiah Wong, Harlan Beverly, and Earl Timberlake, we feel like we've got a good combination of guards. They're very interchangeable, and they all can really score the ball. So I think from an offensive standpoint, those guards will give us some firepower. The problem is we're not very big, and our defense really suffers from our lack of size. That's why losing Sam Wardenburg was such an issue.
Chris Likes, already a senior, how time flies, preseason All-ACC. What are some of the things that you're going to demand and expect from him this year?
Well, the first thing is we've talked to Chris about having to be a better leader. We want him to lead the group in a very positive way. Chris is one of those fiery guys. He's a little dynamo, and he's got a lot of emotion. We need him to channel that emotion in a positive way and get the other guys to follow him. Some of our guys are so emotional that they end up being frustrated and way too easily. Someone misses a shot or misses a defensive assignment. You can't get all bent out of shape. Everybody's going to make mistakes. We've got to keep the team together. And Chris and Cam Agusti, who are seniors, they really got to be the leaders, along with our two big fellas, Rodney Miller and Nasir Brooks. Those guys are both fifth-year seniors who can really, really contribute.
Where do you think Cam Agusti's game can improve? He was in double figures 21 times a year ago.
Yeah, I expect that will continue. We need him to become a better team defender. He works pretty hard to guard his own man, but he needs to recognize, you know, when he's the helper. No, so many of our players are so glued to their men, and in practice, we talk to them all the time. You got to see the ball, you got to see your man. But you can't get so glued on your man, you don't see about what the other team is trying to execute. Because defense basically is about stopping the opponent, not just stopping your man.
Isaiah Wong started the final 13 games of the season last year. He put together some monster performances. For example, at Virginia Tech, 27 points and 14 rebounds. What do you expect out of him this season? Some of that has to plateau off, but I would imagine he still has a lot of room to grow.
Well, that's the area of the game that we've tried to bring Chris Likes, Cam Agusti, Isaiah Wong, and Harlan Beverly, veterans, together. And let them know, if you guys share the ball, you can all succeed. But if guys just play individual basketball and we don't get the kind of assists, you know, we want to average 16 assists a game. If we're only getting 10 assists a game, that's not a sign that we're going to be real good offensively. It's too easy for these guys who are good one-on-one players just to play one-on-one instead of finding the open man better. Isaiah Wong is a very gifted one-on-one player, but he should be very good at finding the open man because he's so hard to guard. He often draws the help defense. And if he can find a Chris Likes or a Cam Agusti on the perimeter for a wide-open three, that would really help us.
You mentioned a couple of the freshmen. You have Matt Cross, also Earl Timberlake. Timberlake comes from DeMatha High School. Maybe some of our listeners are familiar with DeMatha, maybe not. But DeMatha, one of the great programs in the Washington, D.C. area. I think they've won this championship 41 times with Earl winning one last year.
Earl Timberlake is like our version of Jimmy Butler of the Miami Heat. 6'5", 6'6", tough as nails, physically strong, multi-dimensional offensively and defensively. Earl can play the 1, the 2, the 3, and the 4. He can guard the 1, 2, 3, and 4. He's a very competitive guy. He is a driver, slasher, scorer type guy. So very much like Jimmy Butler. But remember, I say that Earl's just a freshman. So he's still got a lot of things to learn. He really is a tough defensive player, but on his own, man. We got to get him where he can be a good team defender as well.
And then the other freshman you have in this class is Matt Cross. He went to Brewster Academy. He was also high school teammates with Anthony Walker. Our listeners might be interested. Brewster Academy is one of those basketball powers. Oh, by the way, Donovan Mitchell, who plays pretty well in the NBA, he was a graduate of Brewster Academy. So he comes from a place where basketball is very, very important.
Yeah, Brewster Academy and Jason Smith, the coach, have done a great job of preparing their players for college. They always have at least a half a dozen or more Division I players, more than likely 8 or 10 guys. Matt Cross is now the replacement for Sam Wardenburg. Even though he's a freshman, he can shoot the three. He's strong physically. Like most freshmen, he's got to improve defensively. He's a nice rebounder, and he's a good guy to throw the ball to because he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's a good shooter, a good passer, and a guy that can get you an assist because if you throw it to him, he makes the shot at a high rate.
You have really just 4 games before you open up ACC play. What is your concern about 4 games and how much you can find out about your team before you go into the ACC? And I might mention that one of those 4 games is against Purdue out of the Big Ten.
Well, Joe, my main concern is about COVID-19, keeping our team healthy. Second is try to keep them injury-free because we've already lost some guys, and especially in the last couple of years, been very shorthanded and it's been very, very challenging. So we want to keep our guys healthy and playing well. We're going to face a number of different kinds of defenses early. A team like North Florida plays a 2-3 zone primarily. A team like Purdue plays man-to-man. A team like Stetson plays multiple defense. They play man, they play zone, they switch up the zone from a 1-3-1 to a 2-3. So we're going to face different kinds of defenses, and I think that will help us prepare for the different kinds of defenses we face in the ACC.
I know I'm jumping ahead here, but the Purdue ACC Big Ten Challenge, I believe the last time Miami played Purdue in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, it was your first year here. The game was at Purdue, but that's a nice attractive matchup for the University of Miami for the Big Ten Challenge.
Matt Painter and his staff do a great job. Purdue has been hugely successful. They beat us at Purdue 10 years ago, and hopefully we can return that favor when they come here. The ACC Big Ten Challenge has always been something we look forward to. Last year we had a tremendous game at Illinois. We shot the ball extremely well. We played really well. We got a 27-point lead at halftime, or at least 27-point lead sometime in the first half. And then they came roaring back in the second half, and it came down to the very last defensive possession. They had the ball. We were up 2, and Chris Likes drew a charge. So we end up winning the game and probably our best performance of the early season.
We have seen so far that because of coronavirus, it's a challenge here in college basketball. It looks like it's going to be that way. Are you forced to practice in any different manner to keep players separated, or do you have to be creative in how you practice and get ready for games?
Yeah, everything is based on the protocols that the university has set for us. Number one, the coaches wear masks 100% of the time. Our players wear masks whenever they're on campus and whenever they're in the gym, in the practice facility or the arena, except when they step onto the court to actually play. So everybody's in masks, then the players take their masks off when we start to practice. The arena is set up for social distancing. Our practice facility is set up for social distancing. Everybody's 8 to 10 feet apart. They all have their own chair. They all have their own area. They have their own drinks. And there's very little interaction except on the court when we're playing offense and defense.
The ACC did announce they're moving the ACC tournament this year back to Greensboro for this year. I imagine that has to do, obviously, with the virus. Maybe they can bubble up the ACC tournament, but that's going to go back to Greensboro. A lot of discussion about the NCAA tournament being held in one location, or in one state anyway, in Indianapolis or Indiana.
Joe, I have no idea what's going to happen in March. I listen to the news broadcasts, and sometimes it's terrifying to hear the experts, the doctors, the scientists predict what's next. And most recently, I heard during this Thanksgiving break, with all the students going home, with everybody traveling in airports, that this thing is going to spike again. And then at Christmas and New Year's, it's going to spike even a third or fourth time. So I'm wearing my mask, Joe. I know that. So is my wife. We're trying to stay safe. I hope you are too. I hope our fans are. I hope they social distance. It's nice to be able to enjoy family, but you don't want 2 weeks from now to be in the hospital struggling to breathe.
Yeah. This is a very, very important time. No question about that. Just a couple more quick things on your team before I let you go here. Should mention, I think it will be exciting. You talked about Nysir Brooks. He steps in. He was a guy that was very engaged, I thought, last year with your team, even though he wasn't eligible to play because he was a transfer.
Yeah, Nasir's got a lot of energy. He's very vocal. He was the defensive player of the year in the American Conference. We're hoping he can do the same for us. We expect he can. We need him to stay out of foul trouble. One of the differences is he came from a program that zoned a lot, and now he's in a program that plays man-to-man a lot. So he's had to make an adjustment. He's got to learn the basics of our defensive concepts. But so far, so good. I love his energy and his enthusiasm. So hopefully he'll have a great year.
And your first two opponents, North Florida and Stetson. North Florida has some transfers. Stetson has they have Brendan Sir on their coaching staff from his days with the Detroit Pistons, and a very experienced squad before you go up against Purdue.
Yeah, Brendan and I go back to the New York days when he was a high school coach, and when he was an assistant with the Detroit Pistons, I was the head coach of Bowling Green State University in Ohio, and I invited Brendan to come down and speak at my roundtable clinic, which we did every September. And he came down and talked all about the bad boys, Joe, and the kind of defense they played. I remember asking him in front of about 100 high school coaches, hey, Brendan, how is it that you guys can just elbow and punch and knock people down, and in the NBA that's not called a foul? Yeah. Oh, that was pretty funny.
Yeah. I looked at their roster. I don't see Bill Laimbeer on there, so that's good.
Yeah. No, this is something the best laid plans. Joe, we planned on North Florida just busting down from Jacksonville. Instead, they're in Raleigh, North Carolina, flying in. It just drives me nuts trying to plan ahead to avoid the potential of spreading the virus. And we can only take care of ourselves, Joe. We can only do what we can do to prevent the spread. But if and when we play North Florida on Sunday, hopefully they don't have it and our guys don't get it.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. We'll do the best we can. We'll be high above the court up in a suite looking down on you coaching, and very much looking forward to another year. Before we let you go, let me think now. This is what, 10 years, year number 10. Man, time flies for you, Coach.
Yeah, 10th anniversary, Joe, of us being together. I'm looking forward to another exciting year of ACC basketball. I hope our fans will tune in and watch us on TV. We don't have any fans at the game. The arena will be empty, but hopefully we'll have a large TV audience.
Well, you've done an incredible job making this program relevant. I know you'll guide the guys through this very difficult season the best way possible. safely, and you'll navigate it. And thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to Sunday night, and the best of luck.
Thanks, Joe.
University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. Let me talk to you for a moment about Williamson Cadillac. Ed Williamson and his lovely wife, Carol Williamson, are big, I mean big, University of Miami basketball fans. They like to attend the games. They like to sit right along the baseline. Hopefully here in the future, they'll be able to do that once again. But let me talk to you about Williamson Cadillac, because they've been a part of this community for 52 years, and they have served this community with the same essence that represents the people who live here, because Williamson is Miami. And right now, you can experience everything that Williamson Cadillac has to offer with its award-winning lineup. You can make a statement in their unmistakable XT crossovers engineered to stand out. I'm driving the XT4. You can excite your senses in Williamson's CT sedan series dedicated to performance, or ride in the original icon, the Cadillac Escalade. All of Williamson's cars, they are dynamic, they have power, they have speed. You can find the perfect ride just for you. Visit their state-of-the-art facility. It is conveniently located at US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto Expressway, or view their entire lineup online at WilliamsonCadillac.com. Williamson Cadillac, your premier luxury dealership. Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Joining us on the show right now, University of Miami women's basketball coach Katie Meyer. Hurricanes will open up the season with a couple of games coming up this week. And, Coach, how would you describe your emotions as you embark on this season? Excited, anxious, or something else?
You know, I think it's joyful. I mean, it's an incredible amount of work to go into the opportunity for us to compete. And, you know, you always have nerves. You always have things you didn't think you got in, and you're always going through the what ifs. But listen, I've been on this mantra for about 5 months now. It's like day by day, come what may, and then find the joy. You know, and that's so. I'm excited for my players. I'm excited for the staff. I'm excited for the administration, just to go out there and show how grateful we are.
So this season brings many challenges, not only on the court but off the court as well. So. As a head coach, perhaps maybe the most challenging to the start of a season?
You know, I think so. You know, mix in some of the situations we got going on with some people out and stuff, and I think it would be challenging regardless. But at the same time, there's opportunities as well. And we've had an opportunity to do maybe a deeper dive into just one-on-one time with players, conversations, getting more of a pulse of the team. You know, I haven't been on the road recruiting. Okay. So that's a real opportunity to have more time, just being skill work and just one-on-one. So, you know, there's positives and negatives, but you know me, I'm always going to find the positives.
You know, you did mention recruiting, and you are a great recruiter. Can you talk about the impact of recruiting now, basically from South Florida? What adjustment have you had to make?
Well, I'll tell you what, we got two of the best players in Florida in our signing class, which was fantastic. Honestly, like Julia Williams and Jasmine Roberts are really good. You know, they're going to be player of the year in their division, state champs, probably both of them again. And so it was nice to have known them, have had them on campus prior to COVID. And then regardless of COVID, I mean, they were two absolute targets on our list. So, you know, Jasmine was pretty early on her commitment, and Julia took a little bit longer, but, you know, I think they were Canes from the beginning. So that right away put us in a really exciting situation. And then we added two other amazing players. So it's a great class for us, but it was nice to know. Like, I think a lot of coaches ended up signing people they hadn't seen play live. I mean, we are not in that situation because we had done work early on this class.
Is it in terms of the recruiting, I guess it's all virtual recruiting, and you show them the campus that way, I would imagine also, right? Because they're not allowed to make visits to campus.
Exactly. They were not. And I mean, it's even funny, even Carla Irjevic, which is a Croatian player that
is transferred to us. She was transferring, leaving Wyoming during the spring. We had a visit set up. We had to cancel the visit. Carla had never even been like east of the Mississippi and chose Miami on based on that virtual everything, you know, and it was like incredible, like, you know, just trying to show what we could on our campus. Luckily, that's one of our big sells, you know, and I think we've missed some of the weather advantage of the Miami or bringing someone to the beach or whatever. But when you have a creative video staff like we do on campus, I mean, our external, our marketing and promotions department here is amazing. And I thought we put together some really, really good stuff just for everyone, for the fans, for the public, and for recruiting.
It had to be the Halloween video that put it all right over the top.
That poodle skirt might have put me over the top.
I mentioned this to you last week on our television show. This is your 16th year at the University of Miami. How time flies. Do you take time to reflect on where you were, where you've been, and where you're going?
You know what I do? I put the kind of the pressure, not for myself, but I want each team to know that there's a legacy here, you know, and I want like these seniors to know that we're on a 10 game postseason streak here in this program. It's their team this year, but it's also the program, the community, what we've accomplished, you know, 10 straight postseasons. There are not many programs that can say that. And so I use that more so as a standard, as pressure. People say don't put pressure on someone. I say, well, then they shouldn't be in athletics because we want pressure. And I hope it doesn't turn into stress. But if it turns into stress, it's because you didn't prepare. But if you know you're good and you're ready to go, you know, you want it. And so there is pressure here because this program is one of the top 20 programs in the nation year in and year out. And that means something.
I look at it and, you know, sports today, there's quite a bit of turnover and volatility in sports wherever you look. And you look at your program and I see continuity.
Yeah, I'll tell you, when I was 16 years ago or 17 years ago at Charlotte, just happy as a clam, thinking I would stay there forever, it took something very, very special. But I think what it took for me to leave and come here was this sense that they saw their coaches as educators and instructors and respected on campus. It wasn't like athletics was the thing that bothered professors. There was a great, you know, some universities it's like athletics versus academics. This university is about leadership, like, and it's small enough to where there's a special leader in the music department. I want to know them. They have nothing to do with my program, but boy, I love special young leaders, and I feel like the professors feel the same way. And so that really grabbed me, and I've never lost that about Miami. I think we absolutely celebrate leaders and special, the top 1% in the world in your age group. You're at the University of Miami in the world. You are something special already. I want to meet you. And I feel that way about this campus.
And while I mentioned your program as continuity, probably the greatest compliment, you have lost assistant coaches who have become head coaches. One you're going to face in Derek Gibbs, who went on to North Florida. So that's a compliment that you've lost a couple of coaches, one to Marquette and one to North Florida. People knock on your door. And when they knock on your door, to me, that means they want a little bit of your magic.
Yeah, and Stetson as well. Lynn Brio was here as well, and she's the head coach of Stetson, and now Keegar's at Penn State. So, yeah, I'm proud of it. And then we got some young coaches in the works here. Besides my staff, we've got Morgan Stroman and Shanice Johnson back now on the sidelines and taking advantage of a very special year where they're allowing the non-coaching staff, the two non-coaching staff members to sort of act as practice squad players and managers, because you don't want to have a ton of managers and a ton of extra students around your program. And so two of the best players that ever played here are, on the practice squad this year, really helping a lot. And they're both very special. They'll be great coaches.
When you look at your team or talk to your team, is there a difference between demands and expectations?
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on your internal motor to me. I mean, nobody can put anything on me that I'm already not wanting, right? Nobody says to me, hey, if I challenge you, you're going to go harder, Meyer. Like, that doesn't happen. Nobody can over expect and over demand of what I'm already thinking about. So it sort of depends on your motor. You know, I wake up in the morning and I demand that I'm going to have, first of all, some type of a really joyful belly laugh at some point before I bring my intensity. You know, I know that about myself. So I'm going to find a way to get a workout in and get something to release some of that so that when I come, I'm just like awesome, right? I know that about myself. I know how intense I am. And I don't shy away from it. And I feel like we recruit players that put that same type of pressure on themselves.
So as you embark on this season that gets underway this week, what are some of your expectations of your team?
Well, I'm telling you what, if we ever get outworked and outplayed and out-hustled, it stops and starts there. I mean, there's nothing else to talk about. So one thing that I try to do, certainly with this particular team, is to give small achievable goals so that we're not in the clouds with some dream that's just out there, right? This year especially, you know what? We're going to go to tomorrow. If we play harder than Jacksonville plays, then we shouldn't have to worry about much. Like, that's the kind of thing, like real simple goals, real short-term goals. And because, you know, you start thinking about what ifs. This year, it's not the year to do that. It is not the year to worry about what seed you're going to be in the NCAA when, you know, you're trying so hard to get to tip-off. So a very, very narrow focus this year.
Not only is it going to be a grind because of the circumstances, but the league is added to league games, which you think is a really good move, and so do I. But this is a really competitive league. Your coaches, you selected Louisville as the number one team in the league.
Yeah, I think they're going to be really special. I wouldn't sleep on Syracuse either. I think the people that just don't really know what Syracuse's roster had sort of sitting out. They have internationals, they have transfers, they have this kind of thing. People just went from the standings last year and thought, okay, well, but Syracuse has a lot of talent too. But it's like I said, you project. I'm not much into that. I'm just not. I never have been. You know, you always tell me I coach speak, but I never have been. But I'm certainly not there this year. I am very, very narrow. I know we got a pass, we got a catch, we got a box out, and if there's a loose ball, Miami better grab it first. I mean, that's really how narrow we are right now.
Would you say your strength is going to be your perimeter play and your passing game?
I really think that what makes us interesting, what makes us going to be a difficult matchup for some, is definitely our experience at the guard spot, but more so the length in some of our newcomers and then some of our emerging. So we had two first-year players last year, MJ, City Baba Johnson, Milena Johnson, and Destiny Harden. And they showed greatness last year. Okay, they're consistently being very great right now in practice. So those are two players that had certain roles. MJ got hurt. Destiny came on for MJ. And the two of them together are being really consistent, really, really sharp. Okay, so that's great. And then we added length in Naomi and Nyonga that are going to be interesting talent. It's creative talent. It's not your typical. I mean, we have a 6'4 freshman that shoots the three as well as anyone on our team and runs really well. So it's interesting how we'll use her. So that's where our interest is. That's what makes us unique.
And, of course, you have a couple of senior guards in Banks, in Marshall, and Mason.
Yeah, they're going to be you know, they got a lot on their plate. You know, I know the news is coming out about Mikeia, and just a tough blow for our team. You know, you run an offense with you're talking about a Shane Larkin, Chris Likes kind of offense where everything's a ball screen. That was the plan. That's been the plan. You go back to Renee Taylor, 5'2". I like little guards. You go back to Jessica Thomas. You go to Raquana Williams. You go to Adrian Motley. And you go to Mikeia Gray. So we still have that ability, but we absolutely have to change a lot of our offensive concepts and be a lot more over the top and a little less ball screen.
As I mentioned before, you I've always put together a great non-conference, very challenging non-conference, and because of our circumstances, it's a more local non-conference. But in addition to that, you have only four games before you jump into the ACC schedule against one of those teams that you said don't sleep on. That would be Syracuse. So can you find out enough about your team in those four games? Or I guess there is no choice, right? You got to find out.
Right, right. And I don't think anybody's going to. I mean, here's something that people aren't really talking about, which has me, you know, where my mind is a little bit on the eve of a game is officiating. Yeah. All right. We have constantly had scrimmages, inter-squad scrimmages. Officials come. They come for free. They get their work in. You get your work in. You ask them questions. They give you feedback. Hey, coach, you know what? That's going to be a foul this year. Hey, get your play. Get your hands off. Coach, here's the new rules. Like, all right, we haven't had one single official in a practice due to the COVID restrictions. And now we had the option to get some non-Division I officials in, but, I mean, we're going to go safety first. So as much as I love my assistant coaches, they're not great officials. So I think that's going to be across the board a very, very interesting thing to keep your eye on is, like, how are they calling the game? Like, you know, we're going to be low in numbers. People are going to have rosters down. You see it in every sport. And then if we're tic-tac and everything's a foul, it's going to be interesting.
You play a style that's very aggressive. Have you been able to practice that way because of the virus or worries about the virus? Have you had to make any adjustments?
Well, I tell you what adjustment had to be today. Shanice Johnson and Morgan Stroman are fantastic, so they're great. But we were down a couple of players today and day before game, and there was a scrimmage happening, and there was great flow. And so guess who had to jump in and scrimmage was me. So I was like, oh, it's been a few years since I've had to do this, but we had two practice squad guys that have been in the bubble, but they're home for break. So I jumped in, and Taylor Mason kept screaming, somebody get my coach out. I don't want to hurt my coach. Somebody get my coach out. So I don't think I played very well, but that's where you're at right now.
Did you make a three?
You know what? I made a great assist. I really did. And, you know, I was always the one. I said, I got back. I never rebounded. I just ran and did my defensive transition. But it was really funny, but it was one of those split decisions. I'm like, well, that's me. I'm next up. Let's go.
Well, we'll wrap it up with this because you're great on about every topic, and we are at Thanksgiving. We started this off by saying, I asked you what your emotion would be, and you said grateful, and that's probably the appropriate emotion for all of us at this time of the year, no matter what.
It really is, and it's, you know, there's a couple words I love, and one's encourage. You know, I think that people are lacking courage. People are scared. In courage. I want to put courage into people, you know, and I want to put courage into my team, not just cheering for them, but saying, hey, you know what? We got this. You know, I believe in you. You know, we're going to get through this. It's not going to be easy, but I'm trying to put courage into you. We can do this. And the other one's empower, giving power to people, you know, and I think if we could just, you know, really encourage and really empower each other, we'll get through it.
All right. Well, the season opens up this week, a couple of big games to start things off at the beginning of the year, Jacksonville, then North Florida, and then next week, FAU. Conference play begins on December 10th against Syracuse. I'll be there on Saturday. I don't know exactly where, but maybe I'll wave long distance or need binoculars. Doesn't matter. I'll call the game with a big smile on my face and the very best of luck this year.
Awesome. Thank you, Joe. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, the college football playoff rankings are out. Alabama number one, Notre Dame number two, Clemson number three, Ohio State number four, so that's your top four. Texas A&M is five, Florida is six, Cincinnati is seven, Northwestern eight, a big surprise, Georgia number nine, and Don, the University of Miami, checks in at number 10 in the college football playoff.
Pretty interesting list, Joe, and maybe the biggest surprise to me on the list is, I guess it's first time since this has been out that the defending national champion LSU isn't in. I mean, the defending national champion period is not posted. I mean, there's no LSU on this list. Can you believe that they came off the highest rated, one of the best college football teams people were saying in the history of the game, and they don't even bounce back into the top 25 on the inaugural CFB playoff ranking.
Yeah, well, but, that's what happens Miami, with all those players.
Yeah, well, that's, which is the same way we've seen that happen quite a bit, haven't we? And, you know, I look at it, Joe, and it's interesting. I'm not so sure that Cincinnati's not a little overrated, but I don't really have a disagreement with the top six football teams. I think that all six of those teams are right around where they should be.
You know, it's funny. The University of Miami's at 10, and I would say, well, you look at the teams in front of them, I would take my chances with Miami against Georgia. I take my chances Miami against Northwestern. I would feel pretty good about Miami and Cincinnati. I know Florida would be a dogfight because Florida's offense, but, you know, you're talking rivalry there. Then it gets interesting. Texas A&M, Ohio State, Clemson, Notre Dame, Alabama. Those teams probably have some separation over the University of Miami. Maybe Texas A&M, not so much, but the top four, I think they have separation over everybody.
I do, too. I don't disagree with you one bit. At least what we've seen, you know, out of Notre Dame, in fairness to Clemson, that was an overtime game without their Heisman Trophy winning or Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback. So, you know, what would have happened then? If Clemson would have won, would Notre Dame have been 4? You know, that may be what it was, maybe 5, the worst-case scenario. But all four of those top four teams, I really don't have an issue with. You know, the question's going to come down in a month or so here is, you know, Ohio State's going to play a third less games than Bama, Notre Dame, and Clemson. And if everything stays the same, how do you figure that out, you know?
Well, I think if they go 8-0, they're going to be in the playoff, and they'll win. They'll end up 9-0. They'll win the Big Ten championship if that happens. They would probably meet Northwestern, and so I think a 9-win Ohio State will make it based on eye test. At any rate, we're back tomorrow, and then on Friday morning, we are sitting in for Joe Rose the day after Thanksgiving. We'll sit in for Joe Rose and Zach Krantz. Thanks to Dan Day, our producer. For Don Bailey Jr., I'm Joe Zagacki, and we will see you or talk to you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock here on QAM. Have a good night, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.